Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Diego Alfonso, airline transport pilot, designated pilot examiner, with over 13,000 hours of dual given from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. My name is Diego Alfonso, one of your hosts of the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting live and in the clear from the Florida Air Museum at the Sonnenfund Complex in Lakeland, Florida, during the 40th annual Sonnenfund Fly-In and Exposition. Today, our guests are Eric Crump, who is the Aerospace Program Director for Polk County College, and Trey LaFan, which is one of the students of the program. Eric, welcome to the show.
Always happy to be here, Dave.
Always happy to be here. Just in case you don't know, Eric and I, we go back a few years, and we share basically the same interest in aviation. We're both flight instructors at heart. Would I be correct saying that?
That's very accurate.
All right. Okay, having said that, I know there's a lot of interesting things and extraordinary things going on in this in your neck of the woods, and why don't we take this opportunity to address our audience and let us know what's happening. But before we get there, I really would like to ask you the what I call the proverbial question. How did this come about? How did you become a pilot? When did the dream begin? And how it progressed to the point that you're here now?
Well, one day I met this guy named Diego Alfonso. And he inspired me that if I could do anything with my life, I should be a pilot. No, that's actually not true at all. But you helped a lot. My journey started really early. I was around maybe 7, 8 years old. My granddad was a mechanic at Spence Field in Moultrie, Georgia during World War II, doing a lot of civilian air training. And always loved airplanes, worked on airplanes. And so once he had sort of matured in his career and whatever, and he had a little bit of money, my grandmother decided she was going to buy him some intro flight lessons because he always wanted to learn to fly. So he got all the training materials and all that. He took 2 flight lessons and realized it wasn't for him. You know, flying around in a T-6 he enjoyed, but flying around in a little 152 he didn't care about. So, but he kept all the books. So when I would go to their house to hang out, I found his books. And I would just sit on the floor. I had no idea what I was reading, but the pictures looked really cool because they had airplanes in them. And so, you know, my family likes to joke that I cut my teeth on the 19 far aim. You know, that's I was just flipping through. I had no idea what it was.
That's right.
But it was really interesting to me because it had something to do with aviation. And for as long as I can remember, I've always looked up when I heard an airplane. I guess my family wasn't too surprised, really, when I had the love for aviation because they knew. They knew early on, but I guess as my 5th grade graduation present, really, I had made all A's, which for me at the time was a big feat. Made a lot of A's. So I got my first flight lesson.
Cool.
And so I went out to the airport, and I was going to be flying with a friend of my dad's, and I knew that I knew he was a flight instructor, and we were going to be flying his airplane. And so my understanding was that it was a small airplane ride, that I was going to get to fly in the airplane. What it actually was, I got out there and the instructor said, okay, just hop in the left seat and we're going to go fly. And I was stunned, you know. And, you know, I'm 6'3 now, but then I had started growing, you know, I'm like this tall, you know. So I sat on 3 yellow page phone books to be able to see over the panel of the 172 and my feet are just dangling. But I still remember that takeoff. I remember everything about that first lesson.
Yeah.
And I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. And your normal kids got an allowance. I got an hour of flight time a month, and I worked really hard for that hour of flight time. And I soloed on my 16th birthday, which was a Sunday, so I had to drive home with Dad because I had a learner's permit.
Right.
But it's really all I ever really wanted to do. I've always loved it for as long as I can remember. Now getting to do it, really any time I want to, is great, but even better being able to give that back to other people, to watch people come in from their first solo. It's just a flashback. Every time somebody comes in, their face is, you know, as wide as the door frame. And I just remember that first flight, that first solo. It's just a big flashback.
It's an unforgettable thing.
It's great.
You will always remember that.
Yep.
And then you progressed into becoming a flight instructor at some point.
Right. I went to Middle Tennessee State University, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and completed. I finished my private before I went to college, and then did all the rest of my flight training there, and became an instructor there. Became chief ground instructor there, and realized then that the commercial airline pilot thing really wasn't for me. I really loved teaching. And it didn't matter if it was one person at a time or 20 people at a time or whatever. It didn't matter. As long as I could talk about airplanes and watch people's eyes get big, it was worth it. So that's what I did. And after that, I went and did my commercial aviation Part 135, Part 91 stuff in Atlanta. Had an absolute blast. Kept doing a lot of flight instructing on the side.
Right.
Came to know you shortly after that when I moved down to Florida, and spent a lot of time working as the aviation content manager for GLIM Publications, designing training material, which was a completely different side of the equation for me.
Right.
And then from there, this opportunity literally fell in my lap. A lady I know, who is also a designated pilot examiner, told me about this new program with this brand new teaching philosophy, and it was going to be really awesome, and I should really look into it. And at first, I wasn't really looking for a job, but I looked at the curriculum, and it was just like that first flight lesson. I was totally hooked. That's for me. And so we're 18 months into the program now. We started a little over a year ago.
Right.
And we started with 25 students and 3 people in airplanes. We have 180 students now. Oof. And a little over 30 flying now. So
great.
But we're really thrilled about all the growth that's come on. But again, it's not even really about that so much. That's just kind of the natural outflow. If you show somebody an airplane and show them that it's something they can attain, at that point you can just stop talking, because the airplane will talk for you at that point. You just have to, you have to make the opportunity available and show people that it's something they can attain. And my job is easy. Like, airplane, curriculum, I'm here to help you.
That's right.
That's all I have to say, because the rest of it is a slam dunk.
Yeah, the once the motivation is there, it's just an easy trip.
And I experienced that too. I'm sure you did too.
Yeah.
There's that light switch, and once that goes off, you can't stop it.
No. And what I call the bug, that bug will never die. You can suppress it, and eventually it's going to come back up. And I know a lot of people that stop flying for whatever reasons. You know, I did, money, time, family obligations, whatever. And but the bug is always there. I mean, it'll never go away. Okay, before we continue with that, let me, I want to ask Trey his background. Trey, right. Tell me, where did that come from? Where did the dream start?
So my bug, when I was 4, I remember for some reason or another, we had to move states away. So my father actually went up to look for a house in whatever state it was at the time, and he offered to take me with him, pretty much probably to get me out of my mom's hair. I mean, that was pretty much the only reason. Yeah. But I just remember this walking through the airport, and there was these big, just beautiful jets just sitting out there, and I just was amazed, and I was like, I couldn't believe that I actually get to ride on one of these things. So, I mean, my first flight when I was 3, I mean, I just knew, like, that was it for me. And ever since then, I told my parents, like, every day, I'm going to be a pilot. Like, I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a pilot. And went up, and this is pre-9/11, so you could go up into the cockpit. You know, I got my fancy little set of wings that I coveted for years and years and years, and had, you know, had that picture of me in a cockpit forever. And it got really bad to the point to where my parents actually, for my birthday present, would just offer to give me a plane ride to like Miami and back. So that was my birthday present, was to, I would go to the airport and I'd get on an airplane, I'd fly down there and fly back, and that was it. And about this time, when I was about 15, my parents said, you know, you're doing really good in school, and we know you've always wanted to fly, so we went up to the flight school. Apparently there's a thing called a discovery flight, and It's just me and another instructor in a 172. And I, just like Eric said, I remember the first time I took off, and it was just the most amazing feeling. I couldn't believe, like, everything I could see, and I was like, I can't believe this is somebody's job. So I just got hooked at a young age, and the problem was I always wanted to be an airline pilot, and back in the post 9/11 world, airlines, that was a dead end job. Nobody did that anymore. People were scrounging for jobs everywhere. So my dad had me convinced it was a dead end career. So I went actually into I joined the military as a computer engineer, thinking that was the path. And while I was getting ready for my deployment to Afghanistan, an education person came in and said, "Hey, you know, we got all these free education you can do while you're deployed." And the college that rung out was Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University online. And I said, "Wow, I didn't know you could learn to fly online." Of course, I didn't know anything really. So the whole time I was deployed, I was with Embry-Riddle working on, I learned first about, you know, like where, how to, the foundations of air transportation and everything like that. When I got back, I went to Embry-Riddle for cost reasons. I knew I would only last about a year there. I only had enough money to do 1 year, so I funded my private pilots and worked very hard, got an internship with Delta Airlines. And then while I was there, my boss actually told me to, you know, "Hey, I know you can't afford Embry-Riddle, and you're great for the, you're a perfect fit for our company. You should look into other schools because you'll be a great pilot." So I was online, and my dad sent me this article saying Polk State College has brand new aerospace program. So I said, "This looks interesting." I started looking into it. I gave Eric a call, and Eric being Eric, sold me on the program right away, and the rest is history. And I've been here for going on a year now. And
great. I think you make the right, yeah. I think you make
I
the
love
right
it.
Call.
I mean,
I think you did too,
dear. Oh, yeah.
The check is in the mail. Yeah.
We're still going to talk about that CFI thing.
You're right.
Diego's not going to let you go without talking about it.
Because those of you, you know, we were talking before, and he's getting ready for his CFI initial practical test. And, so he was kind of asking me a few questions there. Eric, you mentioned that Polk County and this program is a new thing. It's, mm-hmm. it's a different approach.
Right.
Would you like to share that with us? Would you like to
sure.
share how does that fit into the training process?
Sure. So our goal is to teach theory and practical applications in aviation in a way, not necessarily that's never been done before, but in a way that makes sense
right.
and that doesn't waste anybody's time.
Right.
So I tell my students, I want you to learn theory, but I want you to learn theory that you can use in some practical way. Right? So when you look at our curriculum, you're not going to find private pilot ground school. It doesn't exist. It's not in our college curriculum. We integrate the ground training, the flight training, and simulator training together into one big whole. And as Trey can probably tell you about, our students spend the vast majority of their time at the airport, not in a classroom.
Yeah.
We really pride ourselves on the practical approach to flight instruction and to professionalism in aviation. I think we learn a lot more being around one another and sharing stories and communicating about things that we did well, things that we didn't do well, than we learn from simply reading a textbook.
Right.
Not that textbooks are useless. We use them.
Right.
They have a purpose. But I want you to learn a theoretical foundation that then you will use in some practical way. And that's, if I had to boil the program down into anything, that's really what the program is.
Okay.
We focus very heavily on professionalism, very heavily on the safety component. Our entire program is based in the safety management systems framework that the FAA has adopted. The ICAO basically has adopted as a universal standard for safety management in aviation operations. We teach a lot of safety-oriented courses. A lot of our students have started as they've moved through the program like Trey has. So, you know, we covered that a little bit in the last class. And and that's intentional. We do that on purpose. A lot of our courses, I'm going to say that they overlap, but they do share a lot of content. One course sort of flows into the next. You don't just take an aerodynamics course. That's an important skill, and you should understand how an airplane works in flight, but you're going to learn aerodynamics in flight planning and performance, which is where you're going to apply what you know about aerodynamics to determine how the aircraft is going to behave and perform. And so our courses sort of flow from one into the next throughout our two-year programs, one for professional pilot science and one for aerospace administration, basically a business degree with an aviation focus. But the really cool part, which you'll probably get to eventually, but I'm just going to go ahead and circumvent you. The really neat thing is that starting in August, we'll be the first public college in the state of Florida to offer a four-year degree in aviation. This is a huge deal because the airlines, the major airlines, still want to see a four-year degree. But your other options in Florida are hefty price tags. Our bachelor's degree with flight training and everything built into it comes out just above $84,000 for all 4 years and all of your flight training. It's at least $100,000 in savings, up to $200,000 in savings, depending on what alternative school you wanted to go to. So being able to offer the same education with the same certificates, but with a focus very much on practical applications for how you're going to use this when you get out in the real world, that's important to me. And I paid for my training, and I know how much it costs, and it costs more now than when I did it.
Right.
So it's very important to me that we keep this program as a cost-effective option because we need pilots. We desperately need pilots. And that's
airplanes
not going to change anytime soon.
Airplanes are here to stay.
Right. And so, you know, as Trey said, in the post 9/11 world, you had a huge group of people who said, okay, I don't want to be a pilot anymore. That's a terrible job. And now we're reaping the benefits of that, trying to re-educate people about the fact that, okay, aviation is a good career choice, but it's not like being, you know, a grocery store sale. You know, people are always going to come buy groceries.
Of course.
But when the economy goes down, people do travel less. And you have to understand aviation is a very cyclical business. You have to be able to ride the waves, as it were, up and down. It's a great career choice, and I can't imagine having ever done anything else. At the same time, now we're in that sort of lull where we're trying to re-educate people to the fact, hey, you should really go into aviation. And then we show them what they can make out of college, and then we tell them they're going to have $200,000 in student loan debt. It's a tough sell. It is a tough sell. So our focus is really to try to make that a much more attractive looking price tag.
Well, I'm pretty sure that would be what's going to happen, because I remember a year ago when we talked about this, and this program was in its infancy. I guess you can look back now and you can say, well, here's where we were, here's where we're at, and you can have an idea where you're probably going to be in the next 3 to 5 years.
And I'm really excited about where that place is.
Oh, I can tell. I can tell. You don't have to swear.
I can tell.
By looking at you, I can tell you that. One of the things, for instance, Trey, and your goal in aviation, what your long-term goal, what would that be?
So long-term goal, I mean, like I said, 3 years old, airlines, you know, that's always my goal, to be, you know, captain of an airliner. That's just where I've always wanted to be. I know everybody says, well, the lifestyle's different, it's a different, you know, but I couldn't imagine doing anything other than, unless you find me a pretty sweet corporate job.
Flying is flying.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter.
But I've always imagined myself at the front end of a big jet, carrying a lot of people and making a very smooth landing.
Very good. Now, one last question, because I just want to make sure that everybody gets the information out there. Mm-hmm. What airport do you guys operate out of?
That's a very good question. Thank you for bringing that up. When our program started and the last time you and I talked, we were based at the Winter Haven Airport, just about 30 minutes by car from here. As of January this year, we moved the entire program over to the Lake Linder Airport. So from where we're sitting right now, we're about a quarter of a mile east of here, on the south side of the airport. The airplanes are right behind the building.
Okay.
So it's really nice. All of our classrooms, flight simulation, flight training, everything is out of one building, and it's right here. So look around this room.
Yeah.
Where better to teach a Foundations of Air Transportation class than in the Florida Air Museum? Where else would you want to do that?
Eric, it is a pleasure for us to have you here, as you know. However, that time has come where we're going to have to say goodbye. Trey, it's been really a pleasure having you here. Wish you lots of luck in your career, and I think you're in good hands. It's just a matter of time to get there. And Eric, same thing with you.
Always fun, Diego. Thank you.
All right, and always fly safe. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Diego Alfonso with the Florida Aviation Network, and we will see you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.